It's Friday. Karen Vealey's due in for our Cal Coast News Week in Review.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting?
You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. Mmm, that tastes great.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends. And that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
They care for them very well. Thank you very much. Good, Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo on a Friday. Let's find out what happened on this day. According to the Tribune, our highlight in history, on July 20th, 1969, astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin became the first men to walk on the moon after reaching the surface in their Apollo 11 lunar module. On this date, 1917, the draft lottery for World War I began. In 1942, the first detachment of the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps, later known as WACS, began basic training at Fort Des Moines, Iowa. 1976, America's Viking 1 spacecraft made a first-ever landing on Mars. Our birthdays today, rock musician Carlos Santana is 65, actor Josh Holloway is 43, actress Judy Greer is 37, supermodel Gisele Bündchen is 32, country singer, ballroom dancer, etc., and now actress Julianne Hough is 24 today. Happy birthday to them. It's you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's in the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shoe Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Well, Karen's a little bit late for whatever reason. She's a little bit late. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just take over the news ourselves right now and talk about what's going on.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
Well, let's start with a big story of the day and review that first. And it's a terrible situation in Aurora, Colorado. A man suspected of shooting up an Aurora, Colorado movie theater screening the new Batman film early this morning at about 12:30. Killed 12 and wounded 59. Also left his apartment rigged with traps, police said. It's booby-trapped with various incendiary and chemical devices and tripwires, Aurora Police Chief Dan Oates said, adding that it could take days to work through the apartment safely. Five buildings around the suspect James Holmes' Aurora apartment were evacuated. Shootings call cast pall, of course, over Dark Knight Rise blockbuster weekend. Police say Holmes, 24, dressed head-to-toe in protective tactical gear, set off two devices of some kind before spraying the theater with bullets from an AR-15 rifle, a 12-gauge shotgun, and at least one or two 40-caliber Glock handguns that police recovered at the scene. Oates said they are confident that Holmes acted alone. It was just amazing. That's all we can say right now. It's just amazing, and who understands why, and there's no way to understand why, and that's what's going on. So we'll get back to this. We'll continue to update you on this story as we know more stuff. There's a couple other things I could throw in here, and that is that was interesting. He was dressed in tactical gear, meaning he was trying to protect himself in the event he was being shot at, and yet he just gave himself up without a fight. He said to the police that his car was rigged with bombs, and it wasn't. Then he told them that his apartment was, and it is. So there's little sense to be made of almost anything at this point, but that's what's happening as of now. Now they get the Calcos news, because maybe Karen's not coming today. Get the Calcos news. Fewer San Luis Obispo County arrestees are able to afford bail to get out of jail these days, causing grief for relatives and fiscal woes for local bail bond agents. One of the results is an ongoing and worsening crowding of the county jail and its growing population of persons charged with more serious felonies. And for the first time in one bondsman's memory, arrest warrants for misdemeanors are not being enforced. For the first time ever, I think misdemeanor warrants are being O.R.'d, released on their own reconnaissance on this spot. No arrests are being made, said Justin Hendricks, a third-generation manager at Smitty's Bail Bonds in San Luis Obispo. I've never heard of that before. Parents and others are more prone to leave their loved ones behind bars, mainly due to a lack of funds necessary to post-bond. State's new prison realignment law is having a big impact on bail companies' bottom lines. Also, California authorities, in a cost-cutting move, are sending more offenders to county jail rather than to state prison. And according to the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Department, felony arrests are accelerating. Even though Cuesta College expanded summer sessions, attracted one of the largest student turnouts in years, it was not enough to qualify the college for $1.1 million in additional state funds this year, according to Superintendent President Gil Stork. College officials plan to try again next year. This does not dramatically impact our budget this fiscal year, Stork said. Our plan was to use the contingency money to help soften the impact if Governor Brown's November tax measure fails to pass. If voters reject Proposition 30, Cuesta will have to absorb a $2.8 million budget cut in January. The impact on our students, he said, will be devastating. After school officials determined that a modest enrollment increase during the summer could qualify the college for mid-level status and make it eligible for additional funding through 2014, they began a summer starts program change and a promotional campaign. And while the campus reached to its summer enrollment goal, the target for the entire year fell short by approximately 80 full-time equivalent students. A large number of drops by summer students contributed also to that shortfall. And then this was revealed. An autopsy revealed a 59-year-old man found dead on the railroad tracks near 24th Street in Paso Robles died after falling from a bridge. The coroner's unit of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department determined that James Dahlgren died from blunt force trauma and that he was not hit by a train. Paso Robles police are continuing to investigate the second incident of a body being discovered on the tracks in the past few years. In 2010, Brian Brady was struck and killed by a northbound Union Pacific freight train while lying unconscious between the rails in downtown Paso Robles. His parents continue to believe their son, however, was murdered. And they're growing stuff out here in the forest. A two-month investigation has led to the arrest of four people and the confiscation of 5,031 plants discovered in the Los Padres National Forest south of Santa Margarita Lake Road, according to a San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's press release. Detectives used helicopters to reach the three different grow sites. The same helicopter made 14 trips to remove a large amount of trash that had been left around the grows. As a result of that investigation on Tuesday, a search warrant was served at a home in Bakersfield. Evidence there led to a service of a second search warrant at another home in Bakersfield. Deputies arrested Jose Luis Villacamino, Rafael Denise Lopez, Pablo Ramirez Ayala, and Jose Herrera Aguilera, and seized 7 pounds of marijuana and 6 pounds of marijuana seeds. All four suspects have immigration holds.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
I don't know. Maybe she just forgot. I have no idea. We could do, and we probably should, we can do an update, a vocal update on James Holmes.
315 and 314 for a shooting at Century Theaters, 14300 East Alameda Avenue. They're saying somebody's shooting in the auditorium. 315 and 314, there is at least one person that's been shot, but they're saying there's hundreds of people just running around.
315, need advice. Take somebody's fridge and gas over here, too. I need a rescue in here, hot, too. I got a guy shot.
And inside of Theater 9?
Just outside of Theater 9.
King 6, we got another person outside shot in the leg, a female. I got people running out of the theater that are shot in Room 9.
318, we also have another victim on the north side of this theater in the parking lot.
I'm being told that he's in Theater 9. From what I'm smelling inside, I can... It sounds like it's OC maybe, too. Get us some damn gas masks for Theater 9. We can't get in it.
14, we have a party in the car shot. Plate 240, John Zebra, Ida, it's Kia, white Kia.
Okay, copy. There's another victim in the white Kia. Where is that vehicle at?
16 Adam, I need a marked car behind the theater, stable side. The suspect in a gas mask. Hold the air 1 second. Cars with that white car in the rear of the lot. Is that a suspect? Yes, we got rifles, gas masks. He's detained right now. I've got an open door going into the theater. Okay, hold that position. Hold your suspect. 16, I got 7 down in Theater 9. 7 down. We can 25 everybody on this. It's an assault rifle. We have a magazine down inside, so please watch out for the assault rifle.
All right, so the guy's still in Theater 9. I'm working on the backboard right now for that female.
Okay, suspect is going to be a male, unknown race, black camo type outfit. I believe to be wearing a vest, gas mask, and multiple long guns.
All right, you're the Becca, and also now with Karen Vealey. We'll be back in a second, have our CalCoast News update. We'll be right back. It's time for Cal Coast News Week in Review with Bill Benick and Karen Vealey from Cal Coast News, and I thank you for joining us. Karen was out chasing grandkids around the neighborhood and finally corralling them, and that's why she was a little bit late, but that's okay. We got plenty of time. Hi, Karen. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
All right, kiddo. Let's. I did the news update from today, but I think one of the bigger stories that probably hit this week for sure would be the former Paso police officer, David Hernandez, claiming that he was harassed by Lisa Solomon Chitty, and so now he's filing a suit.
And David Hernandez was a union president for some time, and it's pretty common for union presidents and police departments to battle with the chief of police and management. That's not unheard of.
No, I would, and you could understand that would be a sort of frictious relationship.
And that's fine, but the issue is, and it goes back to what the other officers are saying. David Hernandez does have one incident of what some would call sexual harassment. And I'll tell you about the incident that he claims happened. And the interesting thing about this one is he says there was about 100 witnesses.
Okay.
But he was going in with another officer into the Crooked Kilt, back when it was a Crooked Kilt. I think it's Pappy McGregor's now,
yeah,
in Paso Robles. So he's going in for a bar check, and Lisa's out on the dance floor dancing in a very low-cut shirt. So she comes over to him. She grabs his face and pushes it between her breasts and jiggles them in his face. He said he quickly got out of the bar, but he said there was a whole room full of people. He's in uniform, and he found it very embarrassing and degrading, which is what she's been alleged by numerous officers to have done, physically touched them and at different times. There, I know of three that have spoken to me that have said that she's sexually touched them.
Now, here's something I didn't understand from the story, so I'll ask you outright. Is David Hernandez, who is he filing suit against?
The city.
Just the city.
I'm not sure if he's filing suit against. He hasn't filed suit yet. First, what you have to do is file a claim.
Oh, right, okay.
So the claim's against the city, and when the suit's filed, I'm not sure if it'll be just against the city or against Lisa and the city. But what almost every officer I've spoken to says happens in that department, if you're not following her rules, whether it's not what she wants, whether it's not agreeing with her sexually, or whether it's not agreeing with her policy of changing health care benefits. Regardless of what it is, once you stop, she starts trying to go after you. And they claim she actually hired a sergeant to sit there and review videos to go after officers. And she's got a slew of officers that she tried to get the DA's office to go after, and many officers. So she'll go to the DA's office and say, I want you to file criminal charges against my officer. And one of the things she did with Hernandez, he got a call from, they're very short staffed, only two officers on at a time. And he gets a call, an officer needs assistance. So he sped. And she thought he should have gone the speed limit and should not have sped to offer assistance to the other officer. So that was one of the things she went after him for.
And I'm not a policeman, and I don't pretend to know that much about it. I don't pay attention to TV shows that think they know something about it. But it would seem to me that an officer needs assistance, that someone would get there post-haste.
Yes.
Because I've asked the cops before, how come sometimes you see a cop just zooming, but he doesn't have his siren on or he doesn't have his lights flashing or anything? And they say because there's certain things that you respond to that they want you to try to not get an accident on the way, but they want you to respond quietly to.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
The other incident that he was going to is he was taking someone into the jail. Now, you also got to remember, there's a shortage of officers in Paso. If somebody's going to the jail, it's going to take a long time. They're going to be short for some time. But he had an officer kicking, or a very rude drunk in the car, kicking the back of the seat, yelling and that type of thing. So he sped again to get this guy to the jail. So she, those are two of the main infractions that she went after him for. And I've talked to other officers that have, San Luis Obispo officers, who said, when you have somebody who's gagging in the back seat and says, I'm going to vomit in a minute, you usually put your pedal to the metal to get down to the jail,
yeah,
before you have vomit all over the back of a police car. And that it's pretty common. But again, this was a police department where officers said once you crossed her, you knew you were going to be looked at. And to hire when they were short-staffed, this is another thing. Hernandez went in front of the city council and of Paso Robles a little about a year and a half ago, and he made a complaint, and he said, we don't have enough men on the street, and she just hired another sergeant. We don't need another sergeant. We need men on the street. And again, that sergeant was hired to primarily watch videos in order to set up officers, numerous officers have set. So there was just really an environment, a very strange environment in this police department. And it's going to be very interesting. There's three lawsuits filed already, and I know of one other officer discussing filing a lawsuit.
The beat goes on. We will return with Karen Veeley after these words.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
Hey, Jer, do you buy American?
Of course. It's my patriotic duty.
Well, now you could win American, too.
Win American?
Yeah. During the All-American Corvette giveaways at Shumash Casino Resort.
Ooh, they're giving away free Corvettes?
Yep. Five of them. One every Sunday in July.
Cool.
I'll say the Chevy Corvette is the All-American sports car with a powerful V8 engine, classic styling, and precision handling.
Love it.
And Shumash Casino's giving five of them away free.
Oh, my Uncle Sam will be so happy.
You mean the good old U.S. of A.?
No, my Uncle Sam in Buellton. He always wanted a Corvette.
Come in for our five Chevy Corvette giveaways in July. There's a new Corvette given away every Sunday at 10 p.m., plus free play drawings from 7 to 10 p.m. To qualify, simply play with your Club Shumash card.
Win American
during the All-American Corvette giveaways.
Only at Shumash Casino Resort.
Ooh, can I say hi to my uncle?
Nope, out of time.
Hey, Uncle Sam, it's me.
My name is Ivan Ells, and when I'm not singing Fire Truck, hey, I'm the host of the Treasure Ivan Radio Hour, a weekly program featuring my voluminous collection from the golden age of children's records. From Woody Guthrie to Daffy Duck, I have songs and stories that your grandmother listened to when she was a little girl, and she listened to them over and over. So tune in, and don't forget to bring the kids. I'm on 105 Saturday afternoons, and again on Sunday at 4:05 on KYNS 1340 AM.
All right, we're back. Karen Veeley, Bill Benneke, and this is our Cal Coast News Week in Review. Here was a story that you had in the news this week, and it wasn't a big story by itself. It was a very okay sort of an incident, but it leaves me with this question that I don't know if you've asked this question of or asked somebody about, and that's Kelly Gearhart wanting his wife's wedding ring back. So the court says, well, okay, you know, there's a certain thing, conditions and exceptions and stuff, and so that's fine. But here's a guy facing, 300 years in prison. I don't understand why he's not a flight risk.
He has, his wife just had a child.
Yeah.
She is facing jail time also. She was involved. He has an attorney, and I would think the fact that he has an attorney negotiating with authorities means that they are working on a plea agreement. And I think that he is probably wanting to have his wife having a wedding ring when he goes to jail. And I don't think he's, I think he'll spend a significant time in jail, but I do not. I think they're going to plead with him, and I think they'd rather have public officials.
Gotcha. Okay, yep. I see what you're saying. Let me explain, too. I need to make sure people understand this. I'm still not using the phone yet, but we are working on a couple of different aspects, putting a tape delay in and doing some other things. So we haven't got to that yet, but we will. And then people can call in, and we'll do our normal call-in stuff. But for now, to protect myself, we're not doing anything as far as phones. All right. So that's a question I had. It was just one of those. It was kind of an off-the-wall question, but I just kind of wondered about it. But so what you're basically saying then is as soon as you enter into a plea bargaining position that they don't put you in jail, right?
Well, generally they don't sentence anyone until the case has been investigated and there's, you know what I mean? There is, it's going to it's going to a point of arrest. And as you notice, Jay Miller's still not in jail.
Right.
They it's called an information when they give, instead of an indictment, it's a little bit different, but they allege that he should go to jail, charge him with it, and he faces 80 years in jail. The next day, he agreed to a plea agreement, which is under seal. I don't know if Kelly's yet agreed. I plan on calling the federal attorney in L.A. next week and asking how the negotiations are working, but he may have already agreed to a plea agreement.
Okay.
But I gather he just wants his wife to have the wedding ring when he goes to jail, something to maybe remember him by. I'm not exactly sure. They do get a $1,450 allowance from the bankruptcy court for jewelry, and that's probably for wedding rings. So he gets.
Yeah, so he was going to be able to buy it back for $800-something.
He's trying to, but the thing is, people do have the right to complain and argue that they don't think that's right. The ring's supposed to be worth $3,000. Harold Corzine, the trustee for the bankruptcy court in Ohio, is saying that, you know, we may not get that if we put it on the market. We may not get the amount, not $800, but, you know, they already have the $1,450 plus the $850. What is it? $2,300. He said, because we value it at $3,000, if it's, you know, sold, it may not bring in, you know, most things don't bring in their value. So it might be better, you know, this is the way we know it's sold. And I guess Kelly has money coming back from a property, and it might be because it might be partly in his wife's name, or it may be in a family. I don't know why they have money coming back on a property that was sold in Wadsworth.
Okay. Here was a fun story, as a matter of fact. We get to every now and then get one of those. And that was this Dr. Thomas Najarian, who developed this diet pill. And what he had been doing was, now I'm assuming this is under the agreement with the company that's putting this thing out now, is it?
Well, he is the...
He was taking two different pills, two different kinds of things, and putting them together and creating this thing that, you know, cut people's weight by 10%. And so... And he's said, I think I saw him interviewed, and he said, this isn't like, you know, I want to lose weight for the weekend or something type of thing. This is like, you know, you have to have serious issues. And so my question, though, is he had one, the side effects, of course, are increased heart rate among people taking the drug. That's the biggest concern they have so far. And my normal heart rate is 98.
And what's normal?
72.
Oh.
So the chance of me taking this to lose weight is zero.
Well, you don't need it. It's for people that are fairly, you know, grossly overweight. So it's you know, the one thing I'll tell you, and when they were talking about this medication, I have a child with epilepsy. And when she was first diagnosed, I think she was about 15, and they started giving her pills, or maybe she's a little bit older, but anyway, they started giving her pills, and her weight was fairly normal at the time. She probably started out at, you know, 125 or something. She got down to about 103 pounds, and the doctor sat down with us and said, this is one of the real bad side effects, and we're getting to the point where she can't take this drug anymore because she's dropping weight, you know,
too rapid.
After about every month she lost weight. Uh-huh. And so this is a combination of an epilepsy drug.
And a stimulant.
So it's got the usuals, but I do know that some of the epilepsy drugs are very have a real strong issue with loss of weight. There was another one. What was it? There's a lot of epilepsy drugs, and almost everyone has something wrong with it. And there's another one that you have something like a 3 or 5% chance of losing all the hair on your body. My daughter said absolutely not on that one.
Wow.
But no, this is something with those drugs.
Yeah, I've heard people comment on the idea that the FDA seems to be putting drugs on the market faster these days, and it's better to let somebody else experiment with it first, you know, and see how it turns out for them before you get involved in the drug.
I don't know. I don't always agree. For example, there is. Testing going on a prostate cancer drug, and I've been following it because I have a family, my father. The studies came back, the first two studies came back amazing. people that were considered terminal with prostate cancer, it was something like 80% of them were cancer-free, and it's has very low side effects. It gives you flu-like symptoms. They pull your blood out and infuse it with some type of steroid and some type of I think it's a steroid and something else. But it was just amazing. But it's going to take years as it goes through the process. And something that could save that many lives, I almost think it should be rushed.
Well, okay, but I'm not really referring to that. I mean, I agree with you. I would think that if you have a life and death situation, you know, and especially if it's your life or death, and they say here's a pill that may fix you, but we're not exactly sure what the side effects are, you'd say, fine, just give me the darn thing. I know what one effect is, and that's staying alive. You know, so, I mean, I can understand that. That's interesting. Other things, we had the story today in the paper about the guy, in 59-year-old, that was found dead on the railroad tracks in Paso Robles. Did the train stop for this?
The train did not even hit them.
He didn't hit him, but did the train stop?
Well, he was on the track, so the train was able to stop before he hit him.
But
that's in an area where they probably just had taken off. But the interesting thing is, they said this man died from blunt force trauma due to a fall from a bridge. But there is another case. This is, I think, probably the third person found on the tracks this year, or in the last 2 years. There was a case of a young, I think he was 21 on his birthday. He had gotten in an argument with some gang members outside, again, the Cricket Guild. Some people say they punched him, he fell to the ground, passed out for a moment, and they took him away. He was found dead on the tracks that night also. And they said they thought the train killed him. His parents said, we think he was killed. And so there was a disagreement. But it seems odd that you have another person found dead on the tracks, and this one absolutely was not killed by the train. Because that would be the way to also, you know, you don't know what's going on, but it's starting to get questionable.
Well, sure. But you would think the coroner's office would be able to determine whether or not someone was hit by a train or not. A blunt force trauma is one thing. Being hit by a train is another blunt force trauma.
What if,
is drastic.
On the young man, he was absolutely hit by a train. But he was also first beat up outside the bar and kind of taken away with two of the people that fought with him.
Dumped on the tracks.
And found on the tracks later, so they're not sure exactly what happened. They called it an accidental. They thought he might also then somehow made it to the tracks and laid down.
Well, now these are, you know, and there's that young man in South County, of course, that lost both legs and an arm to laying down the tracks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why people want to go on the tracks to go to sleep, but they tend to do that. The other thing, too, is, and I'll mention this because where I worked before, I could walk down the tracks to my, you know, towards my house. And so it was a real shortcut. So sometimes I did that when I was still walking well. And I'm going to tell you something, these new trains, and I mean it, you cannot hardly hear these trains until they're on top of you. Because I was, you know, I don't hear that good to begin with, but nonetheless, I was walking down the tracks one time and I thought I heard something. I turned around. I think they must have been about 1 second away from yanking on that horn because, boom, there was that train was, as a guess, was about 500 feet away.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was close, but it was going slower because it was coming into town, luckily. But, you know, you just don't hear these new ones. You don't hear. I mean, they're not like the old locos, you know. These are different. All right, other things. Cuesta, unfortunately, missed an enrollment goal for the summer, so therefore they didn't get some extra. If they had gotten this enrollment and they fell 80 short, they would be considered a medium-sized school, and the state would then give them some money,
an extra $1.1 million. And they were only 80 students short, and they thought they might have been able to make it because summer school was so looking so good. They did some advertising with a lot of different groups in the community. They advertised on Cal Coast News for their summer session. And they were really able to bring up enrollment for summer. But they also had a lot of people dropping out, which I don't understand why. But they ended up not getting quite the number they needed. But here's the interesting thing. They're allowed to switch the summer session to next year. They can have summer session go either way. And since they had such a good session and it wasn't good enough to do it, I think they're probably going to try to, you know, well, they said they're going to in a press release, We're going to try to move it to the other year. And, you know, they're right now under, they're one of three colleges in California that are facing loss of accreditation. And we'll know in January. There's two that we'll know in January, I think one about 6 months after that. But there's three in under major fire for getting things done. So it's, and if they lose accreditation, people, you know, they always go, oh, are they going to stop? Oh, does this mean there's no more Cuesta College? I've never seen that happen.
No, but if they do lose accreditation, can you transfer your credits to state university?
What I've always seen happen, and I'm trying to think, there's a school down in the, there was a school district, a college district down in the L.A. area, and they lost accreditation. So what they generally do is they go to a neighboring college, so it's like Hancock, and they'll say, you're doing really well with what's going on. We want you to become a, it'll be under Hancock's, it'll still be called Cuesta College, but Hancock College will take over and basically run the college, trying to get it back into a mode where it can get accredited.
Well, that's, I remember we talked about this a while back,
yeah,
about how that works. Okay,
and so
yeah,
it's very, very, I mean, I and especially in our situation with our county, if there's, it would be devastating to the community to lose Cuesta College, because it's, you know, the education at Cuesta College is good. It's not a problem with education. It's not a problem with teaching. It's more a problem of several different issues that, because of changing administration, kind of got left out, and you only have a certain amount of time. I think it was about 5 years ago, the federal government said you can no longer, you have rules, you're supposed to not let someone not get in compliance for more than 2 years. And schools were just, you know, the overriding groups were just allowing them, kept warning them every year, but never did anything. And they said, if they don't get it done in 2 years, you now have to start taking action. So suddenly, there have been a number of colleges in California since this happened that have either been a whole lot of in some type of trouble, and there have been quite a few that have also lost accreditation, with most getting it back.
Okay. Supervisors passed the smoking ban, and that was by a 3-2 vote. Bruce Gibson, Adam Hill, Jim Patterson voted for it, and then there was Frank Meacham and Paul Teixeira were opposed to it. Supervisors agreed to allow exceptions for airports as well as the psychiatric health facility, and I'm not even sure how I feel about that after what happened to that lady. But in the future, they plan to talk more about what's going to happen at golf courses and airports.
And I watched the public health, Borenstein. What's her first name? I watched her speak about the reasons that she wanted them to keep it at County Mental Health. And her reasoning was that a lot of times you have someone that's having, you know, a breakdown, and they're already under stress. And if they're a smoker and you bring them into this situation and say, hey, no cigarettes, it could even get worse.
And I
agreed with her.
Yeah, I understand that. I suppose, I don't know what, like, the policy of the military is for Afghanistan. I don't know what the policy is to this day, at this moment in time. Of course, during the Vietnam War, they were like, smoke them up, you know what I mean? And that's what we all sent around doing, waiting to get shot at. We smoked. And some people drank and things like that. But it was, you know, it is. I mean, you're under a lot of stress. And it's kind of craziness. Yeah, that mental health thing, I think that's really significant, I have to tell you the truth.
And also the airports. If you're a smoker and you've been on a plane for hours and hours and you get off at an airport with no smoking, that would also be kind of different. And I don't smoke, and I have never smoked and never even wanted to smoke.
But it's getting interesting. It still, to me, is getting interesting about this idea of, you know, where can you smoke that you're not affecting someone else? And it's very hard to smoke and not affect someone else. You know, people go off in the woods now or whatever they do. I don't know where they smoke, but they, you know.
But I'm wondering about when they'll have the perfume ban. Have you ever been in a restaurant, you can smell the perfume of the person, and it kind of takes away from the enjoyment?
Yeah.
No, but I don't know at what point. It's interesting because I do understand the argument. Though I was in, I've been back to Cincinnati and Ohio and Kentucky several times in the last year. And it's very odd to go into a restaurant and they have the smoking and the non-smoking right next to each other, and the smoke just rips. It makes absolutely, I don't
think
any difference.
Well, that's what we did. That's what we did here for the longest time, you know. And it was, I have to admit, I smoked, and I became very conscientious of the idea that I'm in a restaurant where half the people are not smoking, so I wouldn't smoke in the restaurant. But I thought it was foolish that, you know, they had an unfortified area for the smokers.
And sometimes you're one table away and the smoke is drifting over.
Well, you know what? Although I have to say this. When they first passed the ban on smoking in bars in San Luis Obispo, I thought what should have happened was a bar would have a choice to say, are you going to have smoking or not smoking? And they would have they would be well vented. I mean, you know, they have big fans that would suck it out, you know, to protect the employees as best as possible. But, you know, I thought, you know, that it would be reasonable to say, okay, we're a bar that wants to have smoking and let them have smoking, and there's a bar that we don't want to have smoking, we're not going to have smoking. I thought that would have been okay, but apparently not, from what I've seen.
I wonder if were any bars grandfathered in? Mm-hmm. No.
No. Although I know of a bar for sure that's grandfatherly that they sort of pay attention to and sort of don't.
I was up in the Sierras a couple years ago, and I went up to stopped in a bar in Tuolumne, and they had ashtrays on the thing and people smoking, and I was thinking, this is different.
No, when you've gotten used to San Luis Obispo and not having no cigarette smoke around, it's very strange to go someplace where they smoke. I mean, it's you all of a sudden say, wait, this doesn't make any sense.
I think in this place they just didn't care what the law was.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, once you've gotten away from it, it's really tough. And you know what? I used to be so envious of people like you that had never smoked ever. You know, because I thought, you know, I've got to go through this pain to quit smoking. You know, and it was painful, but I finally did, and I've never had a desire to smoke since then. But it's you know, it's a process for sure. A lot of times, you know, people say, well, it was peer pressure, which a lot of times it was. I think Phil Dirks just had a thing in the newspaper the other day about peer pressure and smoking. And the peer pressure I had in Jersey, and I'm serious about this, was the older guys would say, here, smoke this cigarette, I'll pound you. Right?
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many years did you smoke after this? I think that's more bullying, peer pressure.
It is. It's bullying. I smoked a long time. I did. I smoked a long time. So hopefully I'm okay now.
When did you quit?
Oh, 15 years ago. Probably, yeah, about 15 years ago, I'd say.
How long did you want one afterwards?
I tried, and we're not exaggerating when we say this. I tried 22 times to quit smoking. I mean, actually made a run at it 22 times. So that's why I tell people who are trying to quit smoking, forget just throwing that patch on. That's not going to do a darn thing for you. You have to lose the craving, and they have medicines you can take nowadays that it'll just take away the craving for cigarettes. And then you can use the patch at the same time and start to cut down the patch and cut down and cut down and cut down until now your body's free of nicotine and your mind is free of wanting to smoke. But that's what it took for me. I mean, I tried everything, and you know, it just didn't work. You know. But I finally succeeded, thanks to my lovely wife, who, by the way, had an ultimatum that when we got married, I'd quit smoking.
So, how long were you married before you quit?
No, I quit right. I did okay. I quit pretty soon right after we got married.
Wow.
I did okay. I smoked the day of the wedding. But I quit shortly thereafter. And, yeah, it was, you know, it got to be just silly, you know, you're off sneaking cigarettes and all that. My wife could smell a cigarette a mile away. So the things in the domicile weren't quite right, so I thought, okay, let's quit smoking. Anyway, but the argument people always have is, you know, but it's not illegal. You know, they haven't made it illegal to smoke. You know, like they haven't said, okay, you can't smoke anymore. It's too dangerous for you. You know, like you can't use heroin just for the fun of it. But they can certainly put restrictions on it, that's for sure. And, you know, one of the most significant things is when you hear about somebody, and it's not like it happens a lot, but it does happen where a person that smokes has a spouse or something that doesn't smoke, and they end up killing their spouse. The spouse is the one that gets the lung cancer. And that's a sad state of affairs, I got to tell you, right there when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically what this whole secondhand smoke thing's about, plus the fact that it affects little kids a lot.
Grover Beach is going to be looking at banning it in parks, I think, at an upcoming
city council meeting. The only thing I find weird is that you know, I see people smoking in places they're not supposed to smoke, and I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to walk up to and say anything, but I don't know. I don't know how they're supposed to enforce all this. You know, when you say the entire continent, you can't smoke, you know, and now we got to enforce that. It's a little bit rough. It's like the Good Neighbor Program or whatever.
I went to a city council meeting in SLO on Tuesday, and it was very interesting. Steve Barish got up and had spoken. He said, you know, you have well over 200 properties and, you know, that the city owns and you're not taking care of. And basically asked several questions. Well, I talked to Steve later in the day, and he said he had two councilmen call him and ask, can you share your list, because we haven't seen how many properties, and I've not known about this. This is about $300 million in assets the city has that I don't know if most people know, but the interesting thing here, this isn't just assets. They have to pay for watching, you know, they have to pay for maintenance. They're not getting taxes on it. They have to pay for insurance. And there's a fair amount of these properties that are just, they don't bring in any revenue. They're empty, and they're just a financial burden on the city. And he was wanting to know why they don't sell them. And when I was going around to the different properties that were a mess and looking at them, and they were well more than the two we put in the story, and, you know, wondering, some of the neighbors said the same thing. Why don't they sell us to someone that actually will keep it up? And isn't the city having a financial crisis? Why hold all this stuff in property?
But the cities tend to, I think, if you look at city councils, they tend to deal with what they perceive as a problem at the moment. You know, they're like, it's like putting out fires, but even if they're of their own making. But, you know, that's to me what is kind of, I think, what city councils tend to do. You know, I don't know that all city councils do, but from what I hear on the Central Coast, that seems to be how we kind of run cities. You know, we react to stuff that's going on and then try to pass ordinances and have meetings and hearings and all this other stuff. You know, so instead of actually sitting down and saying, okay, we have nothing really bugging us this week. Let's find out something we should be working on that we're not. But that's just my guess.
The other thing on the safe parking program, I think they now had three or four back out. So I think they have one or two left that are staying. And I did receive an email back from one council person saying, well, it's been a success. Or I guess they were talking about it. And I asked how it's a success. And they said, well, one family was put into housing. One family was put into housing by the VA. They had applied. They had gone in the program, decided they couldn't afford to stay there, and were told that they weren't going to allow two women that were both gay to be in the same housing. And they went through the VA through a thing called I can't remember the program. It's for combat vets.
Right.
And were given housing. And then they did go, when they got out of the program, and they got a voucher that they were getting into housing from Capslo, which had nothing to do with setting it up. It was set up, but Capslo was taking credit for getting these people. And again, they wouldn't use Capslo because Capslo's program wasn't going to allow two women to be in the same together.
New Times finally raised its voice, as the Shredder raised its voice in concern over how we're treating the homeless in this town. And I do. I hope that enough people speak out to say, you know, what are we doing to these people? What are we actually doing?
And I asked several of the council members. I sent emails, and the basic response I got back is, we're just passing money over. This is county and city funded. We're just giving them money because no one else will take up the. And I said, well, what about the 70%? What about this? Well, we can't control Capslo. It's its own nonprofit. And if somebody else came in, maybe we wouldn't give the contract to Capslo, but no one else wants to run homeless services. And that's why, you know, but we don't make these rules. That's Capslo. So the city is saying that the things that are unconstitutional are not them.
All right. Karen Veely from CalcoastNews.com. And don't forget to go to the website always. Hi, you're Bill Benke, talking to Chief Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo, your new station. Let me tell you what's going on at Friends of Special Markets, because you got the weekend here and you want to get something great to barbecue or did the yummy on. Spencer's Own Baja Filets are just $3.99, or the baby back ribs are just $3.99, or the beef tri-tips $3.99, or their cheddar jalapeno or linguica sausage is $3.99. So there's the barbecue in the program right there. They also have lots of fruits and veggies that you can barbecue these days. Everybody's barbecuing everything, so you can get involved with that. Here's some IGA hot summer savings. Diced tomatoes, 79 cents. IGA vegetable oil is just $3.29. Macaroni and cheese dinner is just 59 cents. IGA tomato ketchup, 99 cents. IGA mayonnaise, $2.99. $2 for $3 for IGA chili with beans. And IGA barbecue sauce is just $1.29. And it goes on and it goes on. And then here was a deal over here I saw. Two things. 2 liters of Pepsi-Cola for $4 for $5 in the 2 liter size. And then you have this thing here. This is called Pinnacle Foods. And here's who their brands are. Aunt Jemima, Celeste, and Duncan Hines. So if you buy six of these, you save $3. Aunt Jemima frozen waffles, they're 99 cents. Celeste pizza for one, which is 75 cents. Duncan Hines moist deluxe cake mix, which is 99 cents. And Duncan Hines frosting to go, $1.49. So there's all those wonderful things. They got the wonderful bake shop. They got the Frank Bouget cakes. They got the great deli and your butcher department. It's all right there at Spencer's in four locations on the Central Coast: San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, and Santa Maria. I have nothing at this moment new to add about what's going on in Colorado, but let me make sure I didn't see anything, but I'm going to make sure nothing else hit. No, it's all the same thing. It'll be a story that's going to last for a while because they have to... they have to let this thing unwind a little bit and unfold. Now they're saying they're going to maybe beef up security at the Batman movies. I think the only thing that who knows about this guy's brain? We don't know anything about this guy, and so I don't know if it was a Batman movie or the fact that he had a sold out theater, and that became an obvious target for what he wanted to do. So we don't know that yet, but it's. No, it's just a creepy, crazy thing for sure. Let me see what else we got going on here. See if there's anything else we can share together about this. It's going to be on news all weekend, of course. Well, that's about it right there. Here we have... George Zimmerman doing weirdness again.
If you had a dollar for every dollar car insurance companies say they'll save you by switching, you'd have, like, a ton of dollars. But how are they saving you those dollars? A lot of companies might answer, or no comment. Then there's Esurance. Born online, raised by technology, and majors in efficiency. So whatever they save, you save. Hassle, time, paperwork, hair tearing out, and, yes, especially dollars. Esurance. Insurance for the modern world. Click or call.
This is the story of what happens when Barbara Walters, the queen of the get, does not get her man, and Sean Hannity does.
It is an interview that never took place. When we come back, I will tell you why. Oh, we'll be right back.
It's like a mystery.
That was 6 minutes into The View. By 12 minutes in, Barbara was explaining how she'd flown down to Florida Wednesday to interview George Zimmerman, an interview she thought she'd been guaranteed.
And Zimmerman came in. He had already taken off the suit that he was had been wearing for his interview with Hannity. He was wearing a T-shirt. That should have been my first clue.
Barbara said Zimmerman refused to do the interview unless ABC met one condition, which Barbara wouldn't agree to and wouldn't reveal. After another commercial break, Barbara got grilled.
You know what that tells me? It tells me he wanted money. Yeah. Yes or no?
Right.
She can't say.
Leave her alone.
I think the viewers want to know. Why would they bring him down?
If you must know, nosy viewers, Zimmerman's lawyer confirmed that his next ABC for 30 days stay in a hotel with security.
George was thinking, I don't want money in my pocket, but I want my wife to be secure for at least a month.
Meanwhile, back at The View, 32 minutes into the show.
I'm sorry. I was just told that Mr. Zimmerman wanted to talk to me on the phone. We will be back, and who knows what we're going to get.
By 37 minutes in...
Still waiting to see if we are going to receive a call from George Zimmerman. And
but while they're waiting, why not squeeze in a marriage proposal? She's a virgin from the Virgin Diaries who's been saving herself until marriage.
Will you marry me?
Yes.
But will Barbara consummate her interview? 50 minutes into the hour-long show, we finally find out.
My little earpiece, I'm telling you that Zimmerman called, yes? That he just called, and Mr. Zimmerman, if you could not do the interview yesterday, I don't think we should do a quick one today.
No quickies for Barbara Walters.
We will now continue with our program and with the people who agree to interviews and then come here.
Maybe she didn't get her man, but she did get back at him. Jeannie Moe, CNN, New York.
But their necklace matched the sofa she's sitting on, so that was kind of special. All right, let's. We do have an update on our shooting in Aurora, Colorado, and let me see if I can play this for us.
We gotta get Grandpa out of there. He's down there over a week.
It's the Harper from Dish. He recorded 2,000 hours of his favorite shows. He hasn't stopped watching TV for days.
What are we gonna do? Time for supper!
meatloaf, and some beers.
Store 2,000 hours of your favorite shows with The Hopper from Dish.
How far into the movie were we?
It was 15 and 20 minutes into the movie. I've been hearing stuff, people saying like there was an action scene going on when the shooting happened. There was no action scene. It was just Alfred talking to Bruce Wayne. And right towards that middle of that conversation, like you just see like the like on the screens right here, the bright side of the door, the exit door opens up, and then something comes up flying up to the air. Then it hits like people like sitting down. And at first we thought it was part of the show because, you know, we thought people were just trying to hype people up that it's the new Batman movie, you know, throwing stuff because in the shadows it looked like it could have been a bat, like a toy bat or whatever. And then from there, right when that happened, there was an explosion and the smoke was coming out and then a weird smell was up in the air.
How many rows is that away from you?
Like three or four rows down.
And then seconds later you start hearing the gunshots?
Seconds later I was hearing fireworks. Like it was a bam bam. And I thought it was just fireworks part of the show. Maybe someone pulling a prank. But then I definitely did not think that once the guy next to me actually got shot.
The guy next to you was
shot? The guy next to me got shot.
You told me he was there with his two daughters?
He was there with his two daughters, yes. He was just watching the movie. And then we were all just watching, looking at the guy. And then it was a shock to see, like, the guy actually got shot. Like, blood splattered right here. And it was just crazy. Like, out of pure instinct, I didn't know what to do. But somehow I grabbed my little sister. I grabbed her. Then we just go down on the ground, hiding below the chairs. And the guy's just standing right by the exit. Just firing away. He's not aiming at a specific person. He's just aiming everywhere, trying to hit as many people as he can.
Was he saying anything?
He was not saying anything at all. He was completely quiet. He was just firing while everyone was like jumping over seats, crawling away, just trying to escape, you know, just trying to survive like the horrific event that was happening.
And the movie keeps playing as far as you can tell?
To be honest, I don't remember if the movie was playing. All I remember was, like, I was down on the ground. I was covering myself right when I was, like, going up trying to see the guy, like, just... The tear gas was getting me. My eyes were like watery. Like I was like crying. Like my throat felt weird and it felt like I was bleeding from my nose. Like it was hard to breathe. So I kept on going down, like ducking down, telling my sister to go forward, pushing her forward while there's like guys or girls like running like on top of me or like jumping away from the seats and just trying to escape. The guy was firing. Like he, the shooting lasted probably like about a minute or 2 minutes.
But and then he just stopped?
He stopped. I'm guessing he ran out of ammo. He just stopped, like, he just stopped shooting. And from there, right when he stopped shooting, he just gradually just starts walking up, like, towards, like upwards, like, away from the screen, like, nothing happened. Walking, like, casually. And everyone, like, around is, like, just still trying to run, like, screaming and everything. And right when the shooting stopped, I stood up, and I tried getting my sister. People were pushing me, and then I actually see bodies on the stairs. Like, an old lady, like, covered in blood, like, on the stairs. And then people, like, sitting down, like, on the seats, like, down or, like, over, like, on the side. People, like, trying to jump over, like, their bodies are just there. There is blood everywhere.
Okay. Well, that's just one of the eyewitnesses at that shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And right now we have 71 people shot, 12 killed. That numbers remain constant. We do have people in serious condition, however, at hospitals in that area. So this could change the numbers, and it would be unfortunate, but it may also change. This is a, this is a very significant thing, not only for the people that were in the theater, but by the police that respond to these things. And you know, to witness carnage is, it's a life changer. And to smell blood in large quantities is a life changer. And so these are things that they're going to be traumatized by, and they're going to have to, you know, deal with and go through counseling or whatever, because it really, when you have this many people killed and you see them, it's just amazing. I'm wounded. Been there and done that. So I know what it's like. So I feel bad for them. I'm sorry that they had to see it. I feel very bad, of course, for the victims, but I feel bad for everybody involved in this thing. Okay, because I can't really sort out exactly what the deal on these two reports is, or are. Two local hospitals get mixed scores for safety. Sierra Vista and Twin Cities were knocked in one report, given good grades in another. I read it. I don't quite get it. It had to do with certain conditions inside the hospital. Let me see. The one that got a bad report, let me tell you what it was. What they basically said. Here's what they said. Sierra Vista received a low score mainly based on its rate of bloodstream infections and use of abdominal scanning, the report said. I don't know anything about any of that stuff. Leapfrog Group awarded A grades to Sierra Vista and French Hospital and Twin Cities also. And this is a whole other outfit that does these things. So I don't know enough about them to have the faintest idea what it all means. All right. Forecast for Midwest is dry, dry, and drier. More than 70% of the region is in some stage of drought with no relief in sight, and that's really a shame. At one point, they thought there was going to be some thunderstorms, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. Tom Davis from Saturday Night Live, who was 59, passed away. He was a partner of Al Franken, stayed on the show as a writer for years. Let me tell you what's going on with the 64th Annual Emmy Awards. Emmy nominees include Best Comedy Series, The Big Bang Theory, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Girls, Modern Family, and 30 Rock. Best Drama Series, Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, and Mad Men. And the top-rated networks, HBO, with 81 votes, CBS with 60, PBS with 58, NBC with 51, and ABC with 48. So there's what's going on there. And then who can understand these things that happen in our just day-to-day lives? I don't mean like the terrible thing in Colorado, but I mean this right here. Actor Fred Willard, perhaps best known as the dog show announcer in the movie Best in Show, was arrested on suspicion of committing a lewd act at a Hollywood adult theater and later fired from his work on PBS series. I think it's a case of Pee Wee Herman-ish. He pulled a Pee Wee Herman. Does that make sense? I think you know what I'm talking about. All right. Voter ID laws setting off court battles. On it goes. I thought the idea that Leonard Pitts put forth the other day was a good idea. So why not have an ID card that you're issued by the state and that says here, this is good for any type of identification necessary. Because it certainly made sense and it's true. If the only reason you need to have an ID card is to vote, and you don't have transportation. It's a pain in the neck for you to get to where you got to get to do it. I can understand why people would say, well, I'm just not going to vote. One in 13 pregnant women say they drink alcohol. The CDC says misusers might benefit from increased excise taxes. Are you serious? Has the price of a pack of cigarettes stopped people from smoking? Yes, some. So, you know, maybe it'd be 1 in 20. I don't know if you raise the price. Well, you raise the price of booze is what you're doing. You're going to tax booze worse. And somehow that's going to keep women that are pregnant from drinking. Not necessarily. And some said they binge drank. Let me see. It said 1.4% describe themselves as binge drinkers. Then they had the Hezbollah has been blamed for the bus attack in Bulgaria on the Israeli citizens, and where that's going to go now, we don't know, but somewhere it's going to go somewhere, because Israel doesn't just sit by idly when these things happen. So, and then there's a speculation about who's going to be Mitch Romney's running mate. They have, here's all the choices they show in the paper today. What the heck? Paul Ryan, Rob Portman, Marco Rubio, Rick Santorum, Bob McDonnell, Nikki Haley. Chris Christie, Kelly Ayotte, Bobby Jindal, Mike Huckabee, John Thune, Condoleezza Rice, Pat Toomey, Tim Pawlenty, and Susanna Martinez. Do you realize, and if you're a Republican, I'm saying this to you also, I'm telling you this, you realize that we start off with that many people for a presidential candidate, and we end up with Mitt Romney. For those of us that are independent voters, you know, and we can go either way, you know, sometimes you go, what were you thinking about with that? We got another list of something somewhere today. I don't know where. All right. Well, now this is funny. This headline didn't match at all with what the story said. U.S. Navy trying to go green, relying more on biofuel and less on foreign oil helps military clear up a vulnerability. So what they're saying is that, you know, the Navy is dependent on foreign oil to operate. And I saw a statistic the other day that stunned me. It stunned me. And they were talking about, I think, the USS Stennis, or maybe the Stennis, one of the new aircraft carriers. When it's out at sea, it operates. It costs $25 million a day to operate an aircraft carrier. $25 million a day to operate an aircraft carrier. There are a lot of people on that sucker, 6,000 people on those new carriers. Anyway, but what they're trying to do is they're just trying to say, okay, be able to rely more on the oil that we can get and the biofuel we can get, and they mix the two together. Now, interesting enough, they mix it together in such a way that it works for the ships and it works for the airplanes, which I find fascinating, to tell you the truth. So I don't know who had their finger in that test tube, but that's quite fascinating. Anyway, so they say we're not here's the comment. Headline says, U.S. Navy trying to go green. We're not doing it to be faddish. We're not doing it to be green, Navy Secretary Ray Mabus said aboard the USS Nimitz on Wednesday. We're not doing it for any other reason except it takes care of a military vulnerability that we have. Well, okay then. And then the let's before we take a break. Let's take a break first, because we don't want to have, you know, one of these things that just going to upset us. Let's go with a break and some music.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Lenny's been pretty upset with the Dodgers this year, and he's thinking about switching teams. Hi, this is Michael Morin from Morin Brothers Automotive with Lenny and Gertie, the diagnostic duo. If your car is reaching the end of its career and you're thinking of switching to a newer model, give us a call at Morin Brothers before you buy, especially if you're looking for a used car. We can recommend the right car for you and check out a used car before you buy. If you're going to pick a losing team, you want to pick one you love.
Call Morin Brothers Automotive at 541-2407. Look for the building with the green metal wolf.
Hi, I'm Michael, manager of the Natural Foods Co-op in San Luis Obispo. We are a non-corporate, community-owned grocery store that offers a healthy alternative place to shop. At the Natural Foods, we have a large supplement section, as well as a bulk herb department with over 250 items. In the 37 years we've been in business, our goal has been to provide high-quality, healthy foods and supplements at the lowest price possible. We have a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can help you with all your questions. Co-op members enjoy a discount to register and better prices on special orders. However, we are open to the public and our membership is not required to shop. Come by and check us out at 745 Francis Avenue, right off Broad Street in San Luis Obispo, or give us a call at 544-7928. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7, closed on Sundays. Mention this ad and we'll give you a free t-shirt with your groceries. Natural Foods Co-op is San Luis Obispo. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
I'm the one. just like fun. Hey, Bill, talk to Sheep. With the best TV, fast internet, and reliable phone, the Charter Triple Play gives you the best of Charter at the best price. Over 100 HD channels, use Apple or Android apps for your TV content and devices anywhere with Wi-Fi connection. Charter has over 10,000 videos on demand, titles many in 3D. Charter was named the nation's fastest internet by PC Magazine, and Charter internet has powerful upload and download speeds and have bandwidth to support all your family's devices in. You can get reliable phone service for a limited local and long distance with Charter phone. So don't wait, call now, get the best TV, internet, and phone with a Charter Triple Play for only $29.99 when bundled. Call 1-855-75-SWITCH. That's 1-855-75-SWITCH. Other terms and restrictions apply. Go to Charter.com for your deals.
So check out the table, what's going on. Maybe help you out.
Charter's smart. That's what I'm talking about right there. All right. Here's a story that I thought I postponed doing the show after we had some nice music and stuff to relax us. Because this really sucks. It's fucking. These things just make the thought of safety back in the pool. More than average spending by the GSA found, 4 weeks after a $823,000 spending spree at Las Vegas Hotel, the GSA spent more than $270,000 on a one-day taxpayer-funded ceremony to reward good performers that featured a drum band, exercise, and more than 50,000 gifts and awards. Vegas entertained about 1,000 employees at two Virginia hotels and an additional 2,600 participating by webcast. These events indicate an already recognized pattern of misjudgment which spans several years in administrations. She's a spokesman. Anyway, you think? Doesn't seem to slow them down. Doesn't put any things in place to make it so it doesn't happen. The Defense Department on Thursday announced it is allowing service members to march in uniform in a gay pride parade for the first time in U.S. history. And a memorandum sent to all its branches, the department said it was making the allowance for San Diego's gay pride parade Saturday, even though its policy generally bars troops from marching in uniform in a parade. That four-year-old girl went through 2 years of cancer treatments for a while, wasn't going to be allowed to go on a Make-A-Wish trip to Disney World. Actually, she's not going on the Make-A-Wish trip because her parents said there's people that now that she's in remission, there's parents that are having, there's girls and kids that have more problems than she does. Anyway, but now the parents have said that they've saved enough money so that they're going to take her to Disney World. Whatever. Whatever. We need to find out. It says right here, I saw this headline, I thought, is there anything we don't know? It says, Bill Clinton reveals vices to CNN. All right, we'll just patiently wait for this thing to load up and head off. Probably a commercial first. But we'll see what he had to say. Bill Clinton with vices? Are you sure? Well, he doesn't allow it anymore, does he?
Our fifth story out on Bill Clinton talks about his vices. Yes, he still has some. His next act, his wife and his daughter, Chelsea, who is actually with him today. Everyone always asks you about your health and your regimen, and I know that it's rather draconian. But so what are the vices that you have left? We here at Kyle, let's be honest. People loved you because of your vices. They hated you for your vices, okay. But then they loved you because of your vices.
Well, it's been a while. I break my diet and eat fresh fries. That's about it. I'm trying to live to be a grandpa. That's my goal. And I've already lived longer than all the men in my family on both sides. Until you get to my maternal great-grandpa. He lived to be 76, but he never got out of the hall and popped me up boots and lived in an old wooden house up on basically built up off the ground with a stone cellar that was a hole in the ground. So it's hard against the tornadoes. So I just decided that I would be healthy in doing it.
You had a glass of wine?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I think that's that. Once in a while I have a glass of wine, but only one.
Yeah.
Especially on these trips where I keep over and just fall asleep.
But you know what's funny? You talk about your age. My dad's 12 years older than you. And, well, you know how it is when you get older. Mother's not doing well, but my father, he is called strong. And so you could have so much longer. You've already had this entire life after being a president. You're doing all of these things. Is there another way for the president to act like a new Supreme Court justice? Or is there a whole other stage to your life or your ambition that you think sometimes, oh, maybe I'll do this?
Maybe, but I like what I'm doing now. Because I can drill down in the way I could when I was president, you know, like figuring out, you know, all these small farmers all over the world. And right now they're not producing enough food or enough income to take them or us where we want to go. So I decided I'd come to Africa and figure out where we can raise farm income enough and farm production enough to see if they can make it.
After talking to the former president about what's next for him, I also asked him about the two women in his life. I know Chelsea Edinish is going to be here, but it's so nice when you and I look hard together. Obviously she was asking more questions than you were asking.
Mm-hmm. She's on Chelsea's on my board, and she's on the foundation board, on the CGI board for the Global Initiative, and on my health care board. And she teaches a course in public health in Columbia.
Right.
So she's interested in all this stuff.
So like amazing father-daughter. I know a lot of people look at us and they're jealous. And everybody gets to travel the world with their daughter, you know, but she's...
I can't tell you how much fun it is. And she knows a lot more about some of this stuff than I do, so I'm always learning from her. So I'm getting back that investment in her education, and she's just throwing out random things.
She knows. And one final question. Your wife is, she's gone all the time, you're gone all the time. Soon she's going to be home a lot. You're both going to be home a lot. That's a big transition in any marriage. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you have
a big board with your board?
Do you have a big vacation or surprise plan for her when she's done as well?
Well, actually, I haven't made a surprise. We take it 2 weeks in August.
Mm-hmm.
And our family's going out to Long Island. We're going to bring our relatives in, our friends in, and get out. But when she gets out, I want her to go home, not go to Charlotte.
Well, that's, okay. I was working on that, to say the truth. So, I'm impressed. I truly am impressed. That's pretty good. I'm Kilimanjaro. Alright, you're Bill. Talk to Sheep Quarters before the hour, 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. We have the weekend to look forward to. It's going to be hot in the North County because the fair's there, and one of the fair rolls in, so does the heat. It's like cattle drive. It stirs up the heat molecules somehow and makes it, you know, triple-digit temperatures all the time in the state fair. Blame the cows. God. Who else are we going to blame for something? Let's find out here. Well, this is amazing. UK border guards threaten Olympic strike. Airport workers to walk out on eve of opening. And, you know, this is just, I think it's out of place to do such a thing. I really have to tell you this. I understand that you want to strike and all that, but to do this and then have it affect the Olympic Games is really, to me, quite pathetic. And I think it's just wrong. There was a public and commercial services union voted for a 24-hour strike and a dispute over pay and job losses. Even without the strike, London Heathrow Airport has been beset for months by sporadic long lines of passenger control, which the union blames on government spending cuts. The problem has eased in the last week as thousands of Olympic VIPs arrived for the Games, and a walkout threatens a return to the endless waits at the worst possible moment for Britain's international image. Now they're not really going to help out, are they? That'll screw up our international image. That's good. That's the start of Ramadan, from dawn to dusk, fasting, prayers, and good deeds. So if someone does you a good deed, even if they're not Muslim, thank them. Egypt's former spy chief, Omar Suleiman, one of the top few figures in the regime ousted by last year's uprising, is dying at 76 years old. He was voted vice president on January 29th of 2011 at the peak of an uprising. A desperate attempt by Mubarak to save his political life as hundreds of thousands of Egyptians took to the streets to demand his ouster, and he was ousted. And luckily, you don't hear about this show. We don't have the same size ferries, for one thing. I don't care if it's in New York or Staten Island Ferry. I don't care if it's up in Seattle, the Puget Sound ferries. But all around the world, you hear about these terrible things that go on. Stormy conditions happened to rescue over Thursday for a capsized ferry off Tanzania's coast.
Officials said the death toll now is 31 and 100 passengers are still missing. The Red Cross said at least 146 people were rescued after the accident caused by heavy winds. Just happens to these people. It's kind of weird to me. But I have a feeling they overload these servers. That's just a guess. That's part of the problem. Employees, I don't know what it is. I don't know why community service districts are having such a hard time. I don't know what it is about them that just tends to have grief. Employees complain to the turmoil in Templeton District. Board president says agency looked at issues regarding the general manager and the leader didn't threaten or hit. Well, that's really good. But here's a person validating MacArthur questioned several bosses and management practices. Specifically, yes, Temple District leaders have been investigating the general manager, Jeff Hodge. MacArthur declined to comment to review on the request, but two others made her complaints at the meeting. Specifically, the allegations are unclear. But anyway, it's just weird. I don't know, these service districts just have problems. I don't know what it is. All right. Morro Bay, the group aims for NSF Clean Rescue Program, has people to clean up trash and not dump chemicals. So that's it. And, you know, and don't leave your boats lying around, you know, and abandon them and all that kind of thing, because that doesn't do good for the estuary. And they're not going to throw poisonous stuff in and hurt the fish and the birds. Be nice for the estuary. It's a nice estuary. Here's the thing. I have to admit, I didn't know about this until today. Open house on Saturday. One day each year, the public gets a look at the tag, labs, tags, and microscopes at the Monterey Bay Institute. So this is it's part of the Monterey Bay Aquarium, kind of, but it's up in Moss Landing. And so it's about 20 miles away. And so it's a thing where they do all this research, this real intense research on things. And so they open it, this annual open house from noon to 5. It's one day each year, the public can peer in all this stuff. Modern day is very inaccessible. It's deep, dark, cold, and under high pressure, said Dan Halfley, executive director of O'Neill Sea Odyssey in Santa Cruz, an ocean science program for kids. They've developed submersible vehicles that help find dozens of new species, done groundbreaking research on all the causes of harmful algae bloom, and explored a dormant underwater volcano. And if you've ever seen pictures of the ocean, by Monterey, it just drops off. You know, it slowly fades out there, and then it goes ka-thunk, and it is super deep, and dark, and cold, and nappy. It is. Another good point. Another person on the side of saying there's a better way to handle homeless issues than the way we're doing them right now. It was written by Carol Nelson Selby, as a retired Ventura County Deputy District Attorney who lives in San Jose Road, with her husband Michael. Since retirement, she's been active in this stuff. All right. State parks and post-it notes equal greed heads. Boulder-sized brick bats plastered with post-it notes en route to Sacramento, where they'll be delivered to each and every one of the 56 officials in state park headquarters who profited from illegal vacation buyouts. As reported by the Sacramento Bee, employees cashed out their vacation, even though such buyouts hadn't been authorized since 2007. To avoid being caught, employees used post-it notes to make their requests. $271,000. Oh, my God, they're paying. Just amazing. I haven't seen the letters that I really wanted to bring up with you today. They had a political cartoon listening on this show. All the top Democrats are standing there side by side. And they got briefcases on close, and it says Made in China. It's pointing to Made in China, all these different things. It's like that thing about saying, what can you buy that's made in America? Almost nothing that's exclusively made in America. I mean, for consumers, it's very hard to find stuff that's made in America for consumers. That is totally made in America. Totally made in America. So it's cereal still have enough sugar to get a pound of shock cavities. And I don't know why anybody would not imagine that a pretty sweetened cereal would not be just packed with calories. It would just stand to reason if you have a pretty sweetened cereal, it's going to have more cavities than you know what to do with. And they do.
interrupt myself to tell you about this, because this is tomorrow, and the last time I get to tell you. Come join us for the second annual American Pride Ride Poker Run. Welcome home to Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans on July 21st, starting at 8 a.m. at the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial and finishing at Tasker Lake Park. For $30 a holiday, you receive even a pen, pin, a t-shirt, food, and drink entertainment. To purchase tickets, you visit 10 Miles Motors or call 466-2411. You can pay by credit card or send in a donation or go to the website at AmericanPrideRide.com. All proceeds go to the Best Express. Helping our local veterans is only a difference in to come out and support our vets. And I would hope that you're going to find time to do that tomorrow. On your way to the fair, just stop by. Maybe way back from the fair. Depends on when you're going to the fair. I go early if I can. That's going to get hot. It's going to get up. And here's an article we had in the business section that's kind of cracking me up. High-speed, semi-stone, sub-train manufacturers believe that higher-speed trains that travel about 150 miles an hour are the precursors to the arrival of bullet trains in the United States. So here's this high-speed rail thing that they're going to stick from the L.A. to San Francisco through the valley. They're saying that it's in San Diego. They said that it's going, it's going to be about 150 miles an hour. You realize that the bullet trains in Japan go 220 miles an hour. That's fast. Well, that's amazing. Anyway, so it'll be a while, though. The very first thing, if you just kind of look, you need new railroad tracks. That's the first thing. And the tracks they use are like they're solid, welded form of tracks, or however you'd call it. You'd say it. It's not like a spiky, downy, rails that are 20 feet long. It's all very different than that. Now, this is kind of big news. Microsoft has posted its first quarterly loss in the 26 years as a public company as it's declared a struggling online ad business, a bust that it prepared for one of the biggest product updates in its history, which, of course, is going to be Windows 8. So, pretty amazing. You just never thought you'd see that, did you? And Ford Motor Company signed orders of one version of the brand new Ford Escape not to drive the SUVs until dealers can fix fuel lines and crack and spill gasoline causing engine fires. Yeah, you're driving down the street, everything's fine, all of a sudden it cracks, you have an engine fire, it's the last thing in the world you wanted, and you want that, but yeah, that's for sure. But besides that, it's a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue, hugging you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Have a wonderful weekend. There's so many things that are going on. You pick something to do, and we got the Renaissance Fair. We got the thing at the Tasker Pride Parade. We got the Mississippi Fair. We got just lots and lots and lots. So pick something and have a good time. Until Monday at noon, Charles, be happy ones and leave everything here because
this is Talkin' Cheap. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Dedica.
Happy Pride.